you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin West. To order or download additional resources, please visit kevinwest.org.
Are you thankful for that love today? Thank you, Jesus. Today. Can you sing that with me?
Come unto me.
I will give you rest.
I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be
says to come boldly to his throne of grace. Many of us come boldly to the cross of grace, but do we know how to go to the throne?
Yeah.
The place where he's established some things that we don't have to work for today. The place where we're living out of victory instead of trying to achieve it. Somebody asked me last week, how was service? And I said, you know what I really love about attending Expression Church is I feel like sometimes we start where a lot of ministries end. A lot of times we are ministering the ministry of Christ right from the go. And then we can go and do what Scripture tells us to do, and that's to be equipped for the work of the ministry. See, I'm thankful for the Lord meeting my needs. I'm thankful for the Lord forgiving me of my sin. But that being said, I'm ready to be equipped this morning for the work of the ministry, to stand in the place of God and minister His life and goodness to others. And I want to be more perfected and more complete in doing that this morning. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
So if it means that I receive a healing this morning, if yes, I need to do that so that I can get busy with the work of the ministry. See, so often we talk about how the fivefold ministry is here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, but we saints forget to say, and we are here to be equipped for the work of the ministry. We are here to receive the completion within us of everything that Christ paid for when He said yes. When He said yes to us. So if you would just stretch your hands this morning, knowing that if there's an issue in your finances, the Lord is ready to minister to that. If there's an issue in your relationships, yes, He's ready to minister to that. But all the more, Christ must be completed and perfected in your renewed in your mind. Yeah, your mind be completely renewed to everything that He paid for. Can we see Him on the throne of grace this morning? The throne of grace, and let His rule extend through us. Yeah, your needs will be met as you reach fully into everything that He's called you to be and all everything that He's called you to do. Later on in Hebrews 6, it talks about how when you continue to minister to others, that the Lord causes, well, what happens is everything that you hope for comes to pass. Yay, we are anchored in that hope today. We are anchored in that hope today. We are anchored in that hope today. Not a I wish, I hope, I might, but an understanding of I'm convicted and I'm anchored in the fullness of everything that Christ paid for so that I can walk in His goodness. Amen? Amen. We thank You, Lord.
So come unto me.
Amazing grace. It's more than just
such a song. And even though I don't deserve the love you've shown to me, you've looked beyond my faults and showed me mercy, yes. So here I am, with all I have, I raise my hands to worship you. I want to say thank you. Oh, thank you for everything, for who you are. You cover me, you touch my heart. I want to say thank you.
I want to say thank you for the sun. And I want to say
together. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the rest that you've given to our hearts today, Father. And God, I'm thankful that I call you Father with a confident heart, no fear, but God, with all confidence to come to you today, Father. I pray, Lord, that as we move throughout this time, Lord, that you're going to speak to hearts. You're going to give fruition of dreams. And we're so thankful for that today, God. We love you. And we honor you today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. You all may be seated. Awesome time. That was fun and sweet. Very, very excited about what God has been doing. I had a phenomenal Thanksgiving. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Everybody have a good one? I got to go down to North Carolina for a few days and visit with my family. It was so much fun. I have two nephews that are 4 and 7, and then a niece who is 2 years old. Needless to say, it was loud. So it was a very loud time, but it was so much fun. So excited about family and what God is doing, and getting to see all the. I'm honest whenever I say it is neat to get to see that many kids run into the other room, and to know that they are learning and being equipped with what they need to get them through life. Amen. It's going to be fun. I had a neat story I wanted to share with you guys just real quickly before we pray and receive our tithe and offerings. We went to the movies on. I think it was the day after Thanksgiving. We went and seen that movie Frozen. That's out. My nephews and my niece were dying to see that. They were wanting to see it so bad. And we got there. My nephew, my family has, they're very, very strong. My father is an incredible leader. He's an incredible man. But we've been struggling here lately with some anxiety issues. He's been having some stress at his work, and I know he wouldn't mind me telling you this at all, but he's been having some stress at work and nothing too detrimental, but he's just felt some anxiety. And my nephew has been feeling a little bit of it, too, and he's only 7. But he knows children are a great barometer. Children are an incredible barometer, and whenever something's going on, you can talk to them, they're going to know. And my nephew has been struggling with some anxiety issues, and he's only 7. So we go to this movie, and we get in the theater, and everything's going really well, and all of a sudden the previews start, and there's some scary images, which I was kind of shocked that at a PG movie they would show some of the scary things that were on the screen. And he just began to tremble. My 7-year-old nephew was sitting beside him. He just began to shake and tremble. And it was pitiful because he just started crying. He burst into tears. And I looked over at him. I said, what's going on? What's wrong? And he got up. He said, I just have to get out of here. I have to get out of here. And he was making a little bit of a scene. And his mom was trying his best to calm him down. And my mother was trying to calm him down. And it was just pitiful because I could tell that this wasn't just a kid getting scared. He was being gripped by something. And I watched him, and he just began to shake, and he began to go back and forth. I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here. It's dark. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just quickened me very quickly, and I said, Isaiah, come here. And I got him. I put his head up on my shoulder, and I grabbed a hold of him, and I wrapped my arms around him tight. I said, Jesus doesn't want you to be scared. I know. I said, well, then that's why I'm here. He said, what do you mean? I said, Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid, so he's placed me here in this theater just to hold you. Just to hold you. I said, do you feel my arms around you right now? Yeah, I do. I said, my arms are more real than what's on that screen. I said, and Jesus himself placed me in this theater with you at this very moment just so you wouldn't be afraid. And all of a sudden, I felt that tension just melt away. And he stopped crying, and he had his head there for a few more minutes. A few more minutes later, he was calm. He was fine. And the Lord spoke to me that night something specifically. We have been placed on this earth just to be the proof and tangible evidence of God's love. My arms and my heart are more real than the circumstances around. We have been placed on this earth to be the tangible evidence of His presence. And through that brings calm, clarity, and dismisses confusion. So I want to encourage you today with that. That beyond any circumstance, beyond anything that is around us, and beyond any sickness, disease, poverty, depression, anything like that, we are the tangible evidence of God's presence in the earth. And if we cannot touch something and bring true stability and clarity, then we need to check up and make sure that we are displaying the light of the world. Does that make sense? Absolutely. So now with that being said, let's pray. Who has a need this morning? Yeah. What's your need? What's your need? Knees. Okay. We're going to keep. Okay. Absolutely. Yes, sir. What were you needing? If you do have any extra blankets, any warm clothes, absolutely. CJ. You said something extremely, extremely right, and that's the thing. You've got to be whole to be effective for the kingdom. The world needs us to be whole, complete, and well for the kingdom. Anybody else? Anybody else needs something? All right. This is that moment. Have to have. Yeah. Oh, my. Absolutely. Knee surgeries. Definitely be praying for Jeff. Also, I want to say we need to pray for Deb. Tomorrow is her last test. She's going through nursing school, and I've been watching her, and she's doing beautifully. Tomorrow is her last final, and then she's got a shadow, I think another nurse, but then she'll be through. So we are thankful for that, extremely thankful for that. We're going to be praying for Deb. Yeah, yeah. Tendonitis in the right elbow that you can't get rid of. Okay. God's going to heal that. God's going to do it. Okay, anybody else? All right, what we're going to do today... Yes, ma'am. Carpal tunnel and pain in that arm. Okay. I need somebody that can absolutely give a holy hug. Nancy, come here. Now, not necessarily with everybody, but especially I want you to do this with Candy. Now, I want whoever knows that you can hear from God and you believe in healing, you believe that whenever He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, I want you to go over to Candy. I want you to go to these people, go to CJ, go to these two people here, Patrice. Your name again, Gary. Okay, go to these people here, Mike Day, you come to Gary. And just whoever believes, let's just get up and come to these different places. Now, here's the thing I want you to be praying specifically for. What you're getting ready to pray and you're getting ready to demonstrate right now is the physical, tangible evidence of the power and presence of an Almighty God. We're not trying to persuade or trying to ask something nicely, leave. We are saying that you are standing as Jesus Christ right now declaring sickness to be well. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray against seizure disorders, that they are intruders, a distraction and a hindrance from the enemy. Any kind of imbalance, especially in the ears, be removed right now in Jesus' name. Complete healing right now. God, I pray for our nation right now, Father. God, I pray for these reservations that are cold and hungry and in need. God, I pray for leadership to rise up within. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be able to bless them, but especially a leader that would rise up among them and take initiative to begin these things. I pray right now that there would be a connection point that a leader, whether it be the chief of the tribe or whether it be the council members, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would begin to make a connection with other places, including other tribes, God, to be able to help their people and facilitate wholeness in their people. God, I pray for new knees, God. I pray, Lord, that this repetitive thing that keeps happening and happening, God, will go away in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you, Lord, for brand new knees and brand new physical ailment. God, everything that is ailing this lady right now, especially in her family right now, Father, I pray for those things. God, lift those things up in Jesus' name. God, I pray, Lord, there's a joint issue. Because these two are connectors, Father. There's a reason they are both having joint issues, especially in the shoulders, the carpal tunnel area, and the elbow. God, it's because these two ladies are supposed to connect people in the body of Christ. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, for new joints. I pray for the lubricating fluid that goes into those joints just to be transformed right now and become brand new. God, I pray for a smoothness and a fluidity that will be on their life as an anointing and a metal of connection in their life, Father. Complete wholeness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Test it and see if it's any better. Is it better? Take down any swelling. Thank you, Father. Wholeness now in Jesus' name. Wholeness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, I pray peace over everyone's mind today. God, I pray just an overwhelming peace right now just to sweep through the room. God, I know we've said it before, you need a holiday to get over the holidays, and I pray that right now, Father. I pray a spiritual holiday in this place, a complete renewal and refreshing, God. And God, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for the amazing fluidity of the Spirit, Father. I pray for ankles right now in Jesus' name to be completely healed. Completely healed and restored. Complete restoration in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Candy and Julie both, I heard the Lord say, one of the reasons, and I prayed this over you, is when joints are actually attacked like that, it's because you guys are very effective in being connections. Because I get emails from you about friends and people that you meet constantly. You are weaving in and out of people's lives, and that's incredible grace on your life. So I believe that God is going to allow you to flow in that fluidity as well as in your body. The same thing for you with people, and there's a grace on your life that puts you in places that you couldn't if you put yourself because of that fluidity. Okay, that's an expression. That is incredible. Candy is speaking tomorrow at the St. Mary's School of Nursing at their student nurse. Is it a training session? So their Christmas lunch, and she is speaking on how to be a Christian in the workplace. That's incredible. Incredible. That's awesome. That is incredible. Well, praise the Lord. Amazing things happening. It's going to be fun. I feel peace. Do you all feel peace? You feel that. It's just a rest. Everybody just, it's going to be all good. It's already good. All right. Let's just move forward. God's going to be doing some great things over the next couple of weeks. I want to tell you a couple things. We are going to receive our tithe and offering. So if you do need an offering envelope, can you just raise your hand right now? And Rex, can you help me out? If you do need an offering envelope, Rex will bring you one. Got a couple neat things I want to tell you about. I'm very excited about next Sunday. And let's get the word out as much as we can. Higher Ground is going to be with us next Sunday here at 11 o'clock. It is going to be awesome. How many of you all have ever seen Higher Ground? Yes. Okay, so you know what we're in for. These guys are incredible. And the neatest thing about them is they are so current on the revelation of God. They don't just get up and sing some songs, and those of you who have seen them, you know that. They don't just get up and sing some pretty songs. They get up and they minister and they will revelate. There will be new things, and they will actually stop their concerts at times just to begin to give direction and clarity. It is one of the neatest things ever. So if you can, get the word out as much as you can, especially if you have Facebook. We're going to be sending out some emails as well, but if you have a Facebook, we're going to be posting some things on that. I encourage you to share them on your wall. And get out there. We're not going to shy away from social media. We're just going to redeem it. And we're going to be okay with using social media in the right way. Also, how many of you all are on the email list? Okay, good. Is there anyone that is, if you do have an email and you do want to know what's going on, where we're going to be, anything like recapping the services, if you'd like to be on that, there is a sign-up sheet on the resource table back there. Put your email on that, and it'll give you all of the information of what's happening when we do start some different events like Higher Ground. That's the most effective thing that we've found that's really helpful to let everybody know where we're going to be. So excited about that, Higher Ground next week. Also, I want to just kind of give you all a quick snippet of something that's happening. It happened last week. We were actually talking about this, just kind of batting around an idea of doing a Christmas CD. Didn't know what it looked like, didn't know what it would sound like or anything like that. But I texted Pastor Kevin and I said, I really feel like we're supposed to do a 3-song Christmas CD that showcases expression worship and what is that we believe and we do. He said, absolutely, let's do it. I said, and we're going to write it. Okay, let's do that. So within 15 minutes, he and I wrote 2 of the songs. And then there's also a 3rd song that back about a year and a half ago, myself and him and Lisa actually wrote. And we performed there. It was an incredible moment. So I'm praying, and I want you all to be praying as well. This week we're going to be doing the vocals on it. Barry and I actually did all of the music. It was a fun night. So we had a great time at the studio the other night. A few people got to be there. So we're very excited about that. We're praying that the release date is going to be December the 15th. So we're going to have a CD for you all to get to hear. Lauren's going to be singing. Mike Owens is going to be singing, myself. And also, we are going to be doing a children's choir. So all your kids that are over there, they will be getting the memo this week, possibly via Pam, about when and where to be and all those things. We're very, very excited about that. So December the 15th, I'm praying we are going to have a Christmas CD. It's called Christmas Expressions of Expression Church of Huntington. We're very excited about that. All right, let's receive our offering. If you would just come on, bring your offerings up. And I don't have a cool video this week. Did y'all like the Christmas music that was playing coming in earlier?
Hey, Dale, do you have that? Do you have any of that music? That, yeah, play a piece of it. Just play that, the one Michael's going to sing, the wise man. Wise men still seek. Steph, just come up here and sing it. Come on. Track, either way, whatever you feel. Instant, in season and out of season. That's kind of how it works, isn't it? She wrote the music and most of the song, so she should know it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I was asking them. I'd already put you on the spot. There's this thing here, too. You're having surgery. Your mom's having surgery on the 3rd of December. This is just the Wednesday, right? Why don't we just stand to our feet real quickly? And would you mind just reaching your hand in this direction? We're going to pray for her right now. We're going to pray. Anybody else having surgery this week? Anybody? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come to you, Lord. You said that even it was exhorted today that you will be to come to the throne of grace and receive grace in our time of need. So, Lord, we're coming to the throne. Lord, you are the King, and you are the Lord. There is none other than you. There's nothing that's above you. That you've allowed all things to be placed under your feet. And one thing we know, God, is sickness, disease, fear, turmoil, anxiety, all those things, Lord, are underneath you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I release into her body right now, God, a healing power that comes from your throne that we've obtained from you, through you into her body, Lord, that there will be a calming and a peace over her, Lord, even as I can feel it right now, even already in her, that she's already confident, Lord, as she walks through. This is a woman of faith. This is a woman that knows you. She's your daughter. Lord, she knows all about you. She's an ambassador for your kingdom, right, and has been for years and years. And, Lord, today she stands before you holy and blameless because of what you've done for her. She's righteous. And, Lord, the righteous are coming to you, and they're safe. And you said that we can run to you because your name is safe. So we come to the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your throne of grace, and we release grace into her, and we just say, God, you're going to protect her every step of the way, and it's going to be just an overwhelming influence of your presence. Every step of this procedure, even the doctors and the physicians and the nurses will all be amazed at her fearlessness and her peace that she will carry. And, Lord, the end of this thing will be so much better than the beginning. And at the end, God, she will stand before you, knowing, Lord, that she is blameless, and, God, that you have touched her, and the world will see that she belongs to you, and you are faithful to your promises. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
I love your presence, and I love being near. You sing out redemption and cast away fear. You glory in about you. They tell why you came. You removed all the sin and broke guilt and shame. The whole world is hoping the story is true. They're weary from trying everything.
What makes it a Christmas song is we mentioned wise men. That makes it all about Christmas. And then in the spring, we'll change it and say smart men. And then make it an all-year-round song so you can play it all year round. So we're just excited about that. There's a lot of great things. I'm excited about Higher Ground being here next week. Really excited, actually, because they are just not a singing group. They minister, and they really bring the presence of the Lord. If you're looking for an encounter with God, that'll be the day to be here because he's going to those guys are just amazing ministers. They gave prophecy after prophecy. I've been out to lunch with them before, and they all just start prophesying. And I was at a restaurant with them one time, and they started singing and prophesying, and the entire waiters and the waitresses and all the people that were working in the kitchen came around, and they just stood up and started singing and prophesying to these people. And it was a little awkward for me. But it wasn't awkward for them because they were right on, and it just created an entire atmosphere. So they will definitely do that next week. You'll just have to. They're very trendy, so I'll tell you up front. I'll tell you that next week when we introduce them, they're very trendy. So if you get past the Rod Stewart and the kind of look that they bring, they dress. They're Nashvillians, and so they dress Nashville in Huntington. Okay, so that's okay. We're okay with that. So they'll be bringing them. They're unique, but they're incredibly anointed and great people with integrity, and they've been in the business a long, long, long time. So next week will be a great experience for all of us. So I just know if you're one of those people, like when I first met them, I couldn't. They said, "Do you like the music?" I said, "I don't know. I couldn't get past the shoes because they curled up like three times, you know." So I couldn't get past. So I just want to prepare you for all that because just tell it like it is. And but they're good guys. They really are. You're going to be excited to have them here. And then also in January, we're going to have Dan Moeller is going to be with us with Dennis Chastain. Both those guys are going to be here for 3 days. We don't know where that's going to be yet, but we're going to be somewhere. They're going to be with us for a Friday night, Saturday night, and a Sunday morning service. And then our good friend sometime in May, looks like Lynn Hiles is going to be with us. He'll be coming back. He is a good friend of Joseph Prince. How many of you watch Joseph Prince or know about Joseph Prince? He's a good friend of his, and he'll be bringing the message back sometime in May. So we'll let you know when that's coming as well. Okay? Are you okay? And when Gary already talked about it, Gary Pettijohn was here. Gary, he mentioned about the need for blankets and cold clothing, keep kids, especially kids, warm and people warm. If you want to, just next week, we'll be here next week as well in this place. If you want to just load up a bunch of stuff, put them in bags, and bring them, is that okay, Gary? You're leaving Thursday. Wow, how could we get this? Yeah, bring them Wednesday evening at our midweek service because this week Patty Cock will be speaking on faith. This Wednesday at 7, we'll have it's our Wednesday midweek service. We call it the Mid. It's at 1050 Adams Avenue, and it's the QFN Equipping Center, which is right next door to the pawn shop, across from Grace Christian, right? So at 7 o'clock, you can bring them there. We'll be there most of the day, too, so if you get an opportunity, just drop them off, just drop them, and if you're not able to come back to service that evening, and we'll be there that evening for you to do that. We want to do that. We want to do that. We want to help them because it's a burden for him. And we've got some exciting things that are coming up in January we're going to talk about, too, because Belize, there's a trip in Belize coming up in February, and we're going to tell you a little bit about that. The whole idea is to, obviously, Pastor Ronnie was saying it, to be equipped to go out and to minister. If you're not too careful, you can get so caught up in all the different things that are happening all over the world, and then the people right underneath your nose hurt. And we want to make sure that we're ministering in Jerusalem as well, to go up the uttermost parts of the earth, but we're going to minister in Jerusalem too. There's some great things we're going to be sharing with you. The church actually is being formed. We actually are reforming it now, but Expressing Church of Huntington will launch officially. We'll have our offering envelopes changed over everything January 1st. You'll see how that's going to change, and good things are happening with that as well. We have a network that we're actually been creating. It's going to have some businesses in it. We're going to have some nonprofits. There's going to be some ministries as well. So there's a lot of things that are happening, infrastructure that's being developed right now, that's going to be a huge impression and expression and imprint all across the region. I'm excited about what God is doing because he's called us to connect, and we are connecting with people all over the world right now, and they're coming here. We have a guy that came from Australia that's from South Africa that is connected to Bill Johnson and people such as Reinhard Bonnke. He did his student understudy under Reinhard Bonnke. Him and a guy named Elijah Lowe, this guy named Sean Morris, and a guy named Elijah Lowe, which is from Malaysia, which is an advisor, economic advisor to three different prime ministers in the world. They come 2 weeks ago here to the area. We met them, and they are considering relocating their families to Huntington. And I said, Malaysia and Australia. We're talking Hillsong. I mean, these guys are connected to all of that, and they feel like God is doing something right here, and they can't put their finger on it, but they felt it. And they said, this area is prime. These guys travel all over the world. And in fact, if you just Google Sean Morris, you'll see he speaks at a lot of big conferences and things, and he's willing to lay all that down to come and be a part of what God's doing here. He met with the mayor of Huntington for about 2.5 hours, and the mayor is begging them to come and just consult because these guys have a clear economic direction, and one's in the church, and the other one is working with business leaders, and Rod is actually connected to Elijah Lowe. And I took him to the airport, one of the airport, and he said, we are really considering moving our headquarters, international headquarters, both of them, right here to the Huntington area. So imagine that. Most people would have been trying to leave. You know, but maybe they're coming because they sense something in the spirit that God has done. See, people that are in the spirit are going to feel that, but people that are not are going to see it as, oh, this is just a depressed area, you know, that we just can come in and help. In fact, some churches that I've even had calls this week, one particular church is going down just about 2 hours south of here to do missionary work, which I think is a great thing. And we want to do that too, but what we really want to do is pull the treasure out that's in a region, in a person. And that's the key. That's the key. The key is to unlock the specific purpose that God placed you here on the earth to be live in 2013 and 2014. What is it? What is that thing, that holy thing that God placed on the inside of you? What is that? What is it? And we want to help identify that. If we can identify it, then we can begin to talk into it and speak into it and affirm it. And if we can affirm it, then we'll know what we're talking to, right? Then we can equip you to be released into the area that's going to bring total fulfillment into your life. Nothing will fulfill unless why you've been created has been identified and released. Nothing. I'm telling you, nothing. You'll try everything. Every act of sin, every act of unrighteousness, every act of the world's behavior that we see out there is one thing. It's the perversion of what is really on the inside of them going the wrong direction. It's the absence of the reality of what that treasure is. That's why people are screaming out. It's screaming. You know, there's nothing that God needed when he created the whole world. He needed nothing. He created science, but he's not subject to science. He created the rocks and he created the trees, but he's not subject to those, right? He did not need all the angels in heaven telling him how holy he was. He already knew it. He didn't need that, right? He didn't need us to have service in here today. He didn't need it because those people are already feeling the presence of the Lord. He didn't need it, right? He didn't. He's not subject to us having service in here today. He can move sovereignly on anything he wants to do. He didn't need anything when he created everything, right? He didn't need it, but he desired it. And when you know that he doesn't need you, but he desires you, something flips inside of you. To be the creator of the universe didn't need me, but desired me. Out of all of the things in the world that I've created, he says, I desire you. And when you begin to see it, that becomes real to you, and the more that becomes a reality in your life, then when you have a need, it's easier to go to him. Because your need now is, you don't need me. You don't need to heal me, but you desire to. You don't need to supply all my needs that I have, but you desire to. You don't need to have to answer this prayer, but you desire to. Why? Because you desire me. I'm not a burden to him. I'm a pleasure to him. Does that make sense? See, when you begin to see how he sees, think how he thinks, the pressure is off of you, and it's now on a relationship. If you're a need to him, you are benevolent to him. But if you're a desire, you're a passion. Does that make sense? If you start seeing how he sees you, you'll know how to approach him. Everything changes. He desires everything in you to be fulfilled. Everything. So if you're made in his image, it's not that you need to be in ministry. It's not that you need to do these things. It's that you desire them. So his desire, he placed in you. So the desires of your heart that you have, they're okay. It's okay to want to be healed. It's okay to want to be set free. It's okay to want to bless those people. It's okay to want to have a burden for that one. It's okay to want to walk in this particular ministry. It's okay to want to play that guitar. It's okay to want to own that business. It's okay to want to prosper. It's okay to want to be in health. It's okay to want to have peace. It's okay to want to have joy. It's okay. Why? Because it's a desire. And the desire he has placed in you. All his creation was perfect for the first 6 days. It is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. See, that's the challenge that you have. See, when Satan, Lucifer, do you know this? When Eve was in the garden, and God came to her and spoke directly to her, and spoke to Adam and said, listen, all these trees you can eat, don't eat of that one. The angel that had fallen into the serpent, came as a serpent. Lucifer was a fallen angel. He came as a messenger to Eve. And when he did, he said, surely God didn't say. She believed his distortion of his truth. When she did, she partook of the fruit of his lips, which birthed something inside of her. Right? A desire he woke up in her that she already had, but God had already given her. She just didn't know the desire was there. To be wise, to be like God. He had already created her in his image. So that desire was already in him. So the angel that had fallen spoke to her. In the new covenant, when Jesus is being birthed, an angel, Gabriel, comes and speaks to who? Mary. And he says, you're going to have a baby. How can this be? I don't know, man. The Holy Spirit's going to come over you and shadow you. And when he overshadows you, he's going to conceive something inside of you. And he's going to be the Savior of the entire world. He's going to take away all the sins of the world and mankind. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's coming over top of you. Eve says this, and Mary says this. Nevertheless, I don't know how it's going to work, but nevertheless, at your word. Right? The first Eve was the mother of all living, had it wrong. Mary hears the second angel, Gabriel, coming, and she gets it right. So the Holy Spirit overshadows her, and when he does, all of a sudden now there's something inside of her that she's going to give birth to, and now there is a desire in her that God placed to birth forth from her that's going to change the entire atmosphere of her day, but also the entire atmosphere of generations to even come. Right? All from a desire. Whose desire was it? God's. It's His desire. See, what's happening right now across the land, and then I want to show you how to hear His voice today very briefly, and how your desires that you have are not wrong. Okay? And how you can hear His voice and test those and allow Him to see it all the way through. See, He spoke the word by the angel into the woman, Mary. She heard Him. And all of a sudden now she's carrying a holy thing, Gabriel says. That holy thing. You are carrying a holy thing. It's in you and it's not even describable because you haven't seen it come to pass, but yet it's in there. So it's a craving and a desire on your heart, in your heart, inside of you. But between the time you visualize it in your mind and the time it comes out, it comes to pass, there is time and the testing of time to be able to see how it comes, because how it comes is just as important as it coming. Because it's in the how He does it is how He reveals Himself to you in the process. And sometimes we want to abort the process just to hurry up and get from the desire into the fulfillment, and we abort the process, and if we abort the process, we abort Him revealing Himself, showing who He is to us, and allowing us to see Him in a whole new light. So we can't abort the process any longer. We have to embrace the process. And as we embrace the process we invert while our minds transform. He reveals Himself to us. And it's Him doing it. Does that make any sense? That's how He works. He gives you this desire. And you didn't ask for the desire, He gave it to you. You didn't know how to ask for some of the things you're craving for. You don't even know how to ask for them. Those things that were given to you are Him and His in His heart for you. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's His pleasure for us to Him doors to open up bigger than you could ever imagine. It's His pleasure for you to meet the one you're supposed to meet and be with the one you're supposed to be with, to be in the vocation you're supposed to be in, the church you're supposed to be a part of, the ministry you're a part of, the songs you're supposed to write, the places you're supposed to go, the people you're supposed to touch. It's His pleasure to give you those things. It's in His heart. So we cannot no longer sit back and say, whatever your will be. Now it's time to get in contact with what is the place in your heart that you know that God has placed there, that you haven't given voice to out there, but it's in here that you know. And you're afraid of what people will think if you give voice to what you feel. I desire to do that, but I can't do that. With a desire I can't get rid of, I can't shake it. Well, you know what? Maybe it's time we start embracing that desire instead of suppressing the very thing that God has placed inside of you. And sometimes it'll go against your personality and your nature because He'll put you and direct your steps to places that you find yourself constantly looking at the very thing that you feel inequipped and unqualified for. And you go, God, how did I get here? How did this work? I don't even know what I'm doing. I know I've had training. I've had relationships. I know I've had these things. But here I find myself here. Why? Because God wants you to hold that mirror up and look that desire that you have in your heart He gave you. I want you to know it's okay to dream. It's okay to desire. It's okay. If you don't desire and you don't teach your children and grandchildren how to desire, they'll be raised. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever happens, happens. And then they become a victim of life. Rather than living life, life lives them. And they'll be trapped in a terminally ill society with terminal dreams and terminal desires, only to get disappointed after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And finally, one day, they grow up and they've married, they've had problems, and then they raise children in a terminally ill world, in a terminally ill society with terminal dreams and terminal visions. And it wasn't God's will for that to happen. It's okay to dream. It's okay to have a desire. He had a desire for you. He placed those desires in you. And here's how this thing works. He puts a desire in your heart, and you know it's there. You haven't told anybody. Maybe you've whispered it to a few. You might even have tried it before and failed. And you find yourself at the reset button. Here we are again. Oh, Lord, I didn't know. How are we going to do this now? How's this going to work? I've been down that path 3 times, and I've failed, but the desire doesn't go away. It's still there. And you've tried it, and every time you feel like a door is opening up for you, there'll be a door slamming in your face. Every time you feel like you can trust somebody else will betray you. Every time you walk through this one and get close to them, when you do, next thing you know, I've been too close to the fire. I get burned too many times. So you begin to withdraw, but the desire doesn't go away. It's still there. And because it's still there, you have no other choice than to embrace it. And when you begin to embrace it, it comes at you and looks you right in the face. And what you're going to find is when you embrace it and you finally yield yourself to it and say, okay, God, I see what you're doing. I may not have succeeded in the past, but I'm here right now. I may have made a mess of it because I got caught up in how we do it. And maybe I put my hands on it. And maybe I thought it was good for a while. The Lord maketh you rich, he says, but he adds no sorrow to it. And that word rich isn't just money. It's peace, it's joy, it's all those things that make a person rich. Rich in quality, rich in integrity, rich in character, rich in every aspect of life, and he adds no sorrow to it. How many of you have experienced something in your life, and you know, I'm sure you're sitting here, that there's something that you've experienced, and you walked into this thing, and you look back, and you went, my God, that was the Lord the whole time, and I had no idea. And it happened so quickly that you went, Lord, I blew your mind. You had nothing really to do with it. You really didn't. You couldn't have made it happen. If you would have known he was doing it, you might have got involved. You know what I'm talking about? And then you look back and you go, that was incredible. And before you know it, you've walked in his presence, and you look back and you still see the presence where he was. And you go, my God, that's amazing how God did that. You wouldn't have been able to plan it or make it happen on your own. Some of you, it's this like this. Sometimes it's not just the good things. Sometimes bad things happen. The enemy tries to take you out, take your family out, gives you a circumstance or a trial or a situation that turns you upside down, and then you're going, oh, my Lord. And then you look back once that thing is over and you realize if that wouldn't have happened, there is no way you would be where you are today. You'd still be pushing, you'd still be fighting, you'd still be scrapping, and you'd still be crawling. Why? Because you're trying to get where you're... Because the desire of your heart, God placed there. So the ticket and the key to this whole thing is learning how he works, holding on to that thing that he placed inside of you, and recognizing his voice in daily living. Right? So if you're not careful, you'll try to... The first phase of this thing is you'll start pushing. You'll start pushing your way through. Okay, the desire's there, and it's a good desire, and you become eager and anxious, and you begin to go, okay, I know God's in this. I know God's in this. And you begin to push. You begin to push. And you become an opportunistic person, a strategist, and you begin to think 3 steps ahead of where you are right now. Because you've already seen the desire come to pass in your mind, because it's a vision and a dream he's placed there. The desire is real, but you're still in the first stage of this thing. It's still in its infancy. It's still in the place when Gabriel come and spoke directly to Mary and said, you're going to give a birth to a baby. Right? It's in that place. Well, if Mary said, nevertheless, at thy word. So when the desire comes, you embrace that if he authors it, he finishes it. If he Alpha, he's also Omega. If he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the author and the finisher, he has to be in the process too. It's not that God brings you to a place at the beginning of this desire and then brings you over and then runs over here and gets past you and waits on you over here to come and go, come on. No, he's everywhere. So when he gave you the desire, he's at the beginning of it. And he doesn't have to leave your beginning to get to your end. He's already there. So if he's at your beginning and he's at your end, guess where he's also? He's in your process. Even when it doesn't look like he's in your process, he's in your process. Right? So our natural tendency is to push, 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 push. Then there's a place that you have to resist you making it happen. If you make it happen, he didn't get the credit. If you strategize and you can have a smile on your face after this thing happens, and you look back and you say, wasn't that clever? It was clever. Clever can never be confused with wisdom. Clever is man-invented. It's when you begin to push your way through and you strategize and you say, it's when you have something in your mind where you're headed and the people that are around you don't know where you're headed, and you begin to strategize beyond where they are to get where you know you're supposed to be. And you do it at their expense, even though you're not hurting them, you're still pushing. He will not trample on this guy to get to that guy, to get you to the end. He is not going to leave baggage and carnage and dead bodies to bless you. He works all things together for good. They're all things. Does that make sense? So he's moving you to this place, to that place, and you got to be careful not to push. Don't push. And when I say push, I'm talking about putting your fingers all over this thing and strategizing and mapping out a plan where you feel this thing here, I'm going to see all the way through. Because God desires to do it for you and do it through you. The people around you will think it's you, but in your heart, you're going to know it's him. Because you're going to know that there's no way you're smart enough to calculate a plan that good. You're going to know that there's no way you know enough people to strategize that to get there. Right? So you begin to push. So if once you begin to resist the push and resist putting your hands on it, and it's not being lazy, it's at a place where you're going, I'm going to trust that this desire he gave me, he's also going to initiate. He initiated the desire, he's going to initiate the steps. And when he initiates the steps, your job is to look for the initiation of the steps. So he initiates a door opening. And when the door opens, it'll come through a person or an opportunity. And when he does, your job is to step through it. And now you've left the push and you've gone into the process. Is that okay? Because what begins to happen if you're not careful, you'll push, you'll get resistance, and you'll back up and you'll start pushing again. And what God wants you to do is walk through this thing. He wants you to go through it. And through it is the inversion of all things. So here's what begins to happen. You resist the push, and then you begin to pace yourself. Pacing yourself is just like flow. Isn't it great to flow in the presence of the Lord? When things are just, man, they're just moving right along. Doors are opening. You're just feeling good about yourself. Things are happening. You're high-fiving as you go. You know what I'm talking about? Things, you just feel like you're in the place, and you're saying, man, everything I touch just turns good. Everything, I'm just walking this thing through. Things are just happening. I feel good again. I got joy. I think things are happening good for me. I mean, I'm opening up this door, and that door's opening up for me, and now I know that person and this person, and you're walking through life, and you're pacing. It's a pace. We call it a flow. They're just flowing. You're not pushing, so you didn't take credit for it. You didn't make it happen. But over here, you're going, how do I do this? Yeah, this is good. There is a place beyond here. That's the push. This is the pace. But then there's a place in here, which is what we call the pull. It's when somebody's on the inside pulling you through, and you can't stop it if you wanted to. I'll give an example. I know somebody that was trying to buy a piece of property. And they were looking at this property, and as they were getting ready to buy this property, they had no idea. God placed this desire in their heart, and there was no way it could work mathematically. No way. Didn't qualify. Didn't none of that. There was just no way it would mathematically worked out. There was just no way you had enough knowing to make it work. But the desire didn't go away. So attempted to put their hands on it, and they went, the door shut in their face. Walk away. A few months later, the push, hand on it, the door just shut in their face. And finally, one day, the door was initiated by somebody else. And then I got to walk through this. My desire's still there. They started walking through the process. And when they did, they looked back. They can't go back to push. They come too far. But yet they're not all the way in to where they see this thing fulfilled. So now they're in the middle of this thing. And the question is, do we go back or do we go forward? And when you get into this place right here is when you have to yield one more time. And when you yield one more time, all of a sudden, God brings somebody on the inside that you don't even know is on the inside, starts pulling you through. And what began to happen on this thing is they went, I don't know what to do. I've walked through the door because the door opened, but how do we get it to there? The same way you got it from here. You didn't put your hands on it there. You're not going to put your hands on it here. And all of a sudden, somebody on the inside of this place begin to say, I need this from you. I need that. This is going to happen. We're going to do it this way, this way. And all of a sudden, the person just starts handing them the stuff. They're going, my God, is this happening? And they come in and they go, what is going on? I said, he's pulling you through. He's pulling you to destiny. He's pulling you to the place. He's pulling you into the, there's a place in him. See, our responsibility is to take our hands off the push. Don't force it to happen. Our job is to, and nevertheless, at thy word. Then you walk into this place and you're going, my God, it looks like it's falling apart. And 20 times it looked like it was falling apart. Every time you turned around, it looked like there was something going to go wrong. And you had a tent. Well, do we put our hands back on this? Do we touch this thing? Do we pull it together? Who else do we know? How do we do this? Sometimes you just want to throw up your hands and go all the way back and start over again and just throw it up. I don't want to fool with this thing anymore. Why? Because it feels like it's got a headache and heart. And then you start getting afraid because something on the inside of you knows that God's leading your steps. You just haven't seen every step yet. And as you start going through this process, he places somebody, Rahab, on the inside, guiding you and pulling you every step of the way. And before you know it, the desire he placed here, you pass the test of not putting your hands on it. The door opened. You walk through. You get in the middle of this thing and you want to go back or go forward. And you're stuck where you don't know which way to go. And then all of a sudden your test is this. Do I put my hands on it again? I'm tempted to touch it one more time. Manipulate it this way. Or do you just wait? And somebody on the other side that he has on the other place pulling you all the way through. And now, it's not a pull now. It's a jerk. It's a boom. It's a thrust. They're pulling anxiously, moving. They can't stop it if they wanted to now. Now here, that's a house. Your children won't work for you. It's not working the way you thought it should. And you've got a child that's wayward. And you know they've been brought up the right way. And you know you placed God enough God inside of them that they should be able to be better, but further along than they are. But they're just not making the decisions that you know they should be making. So that desire is in on you. But God would not put the desire in you if he also didn't put the desire in them. They just don't know it yet. Right? Okay? So our prayer is change the desires of their heart. And if you look at the actions of the steps of their life, it is an expression of perverted desires. It's not that they're making everything bad. It just means that they're just not doing the thing that he's called them to do. They're looking at, it's coming out in different ways. It's an expression over here, an expression over there, and it should be an expression from him. But it's not. Because they're fighting it, and they don't know. They're walking around blind, and they don't even know it. But they're fulfilling the desire and a craving in their heart that they don't even know is there. So your test is this. Do I put my hands on it? Do I begin to manipulate them? Do I begin to force it a little bit over here? Do I prod here? Every chance I get, do I wait for just an opportunity to tell them this and that? And you become a strategist in trying to help wake up the desire that only God can wake up on the inside of a person. Your job is to love them right where you are here and not put your hands on it. Just know that the desire in you is the same desire he's placed in them. Through our prayer, God will open up their desires. Mary wasn't looking for Gabriel when Gabriel came looking for Mary. God will send a messenger to that person, that young person, that young adult. When they don't even know they're looking for him, he's going to be looking for them. And through our prayers And through our leaning in and loving them in the midst of their situation, we can begin to all of a sudden now, we'll see, something will begin to change. There'll be a light come on. There'll be somebody else that'll help them see. They'll begin to ask questions. And because of the relationship is not breached, they'll begin to draw from you. And guess what happens? You won't be going pushing through the door. You'll be invited in the door. And then when you get in here, you're going to be tested again. And the test in here is the same test that you faced out here. Don't put your hands on it. Because in here you see hope. And when you see hope out here and you get invited in to embrace it, your test is going to be, now everything's good. It's still not there yet. Does that make sense? And if you're not careful, you'll put your hands all over this thing and it'll push them away. And then you begin to contaminate the very thing that God is doing in their life. The same approach out there you have in here. You love them. You may not agree with them, but you love them. And you're going to know that they are hostage to your prayers and your desire, whether they know it or not. Hostaged. They're kidnapped. They don't know it, but it's true. Why? Because that desire in you is not wrong. It's not even that you need them to get right, you desire them to get right. It's not that God needs them to get right, it's that He desires them to get right. And you're in agreement with God. And when you're in agreement with Him and they're not in agreement, guess what? They don't have a chance. So what begins to happen is you get to love them. Love them and love them, and you continue to love them, and you pour out your love in the midst of this process. And then I promise you what happens. The next step of this thing is somebody over here that you don't even know, that you couldn't even make up. You didn't even know them way over there to send them that direction. Somebody will have a heart change. Somebody has a relationship that you can't even make happen. And all of a sudden, somebody over here begins to say, here, come on. We're going someplace. They begin to get pulled, and while they're being pulled, something wakes up on the inside of them, and the same desire that you had and the same desire that he had is going to now become the same desire that they have. And they get pulled in, and on the midst of this, they begin to go, oh, my goodness. Oh, what in the world is happening to me? My life is now changed. I don't know how I got here. I couldn't have staged it or made it happen. And what you're going to say is, I didn't do anything either. I didn't do anything either. And I'm over here to celebrate you. The only thing we've done is love them every step of the way. Does that make sense? Every step of the way. And they will change. I promise you, if you knew how much your desires lined up with his desires, and it's not afraid, you've got to be afraid to have desires, you would realize how hostage people are to his and yours desires. They don't have a chance. You'll love them more. You will. You'll be compassionate because you're going, oh, my, you'll feel sorry for them. You'll be merciful towards them because you're going, oh, my Lord, they're fighting. Oh, I wish they wouldn't fight, because if they're fighting, it's just going to be harder on them. You know what you're going to do? You're going to help lessen the pain. And at the end of this thing, you're going to say, it's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. That's the process. It's the push, it's the pace, and it's the pull. And I've watched it over in my life. Every time I put my hands on the push, I stay at the push. If I put my hands on the pace, I go back to pushing, back to the pace, and I go back and forth. And then there's times when I yield and I yield, and that means you don't do anything. That means you're just sensitive to His Spirit and His voice in everyday life. And you look what He's doing and be aware. And then finally, He just starts pulling you. And then when you get to the other side, you look back and you go, I had no idea. Man, if I'd have known what I know now, I wouldn't have fought all those years I was fighting. If I'd have known, I'm telling you, some of you have called to ministry. You've been called into ministry. And you know it. You pushed. And you've even had this place over here where you felt like this was the thing. This could be it. And then for whatever reason, you go, and you get tired in well-doing. You are weary. And finally, you just find yourself giving up hope. Because maybe those desires are wrong. Maybe I'm just getting too old. Maybe my days have passed. Maybe it's not going to ever change. Maybe they're Maybe it'll never just be the way it's supposed to be. No. That desire is for Him that He gave to you. He doesn't need you, but He desires you. It's okay to desire and dream. It's okay. And how do you hear His voice? In everyday life circumstances, He brings you to the place where you have to have an opportunity to put your hands on it or take your hands off of it. With His voice, it draws you in. And He draws you into a place because it matches your desire, but the process is not as painful as it would be if you put your hands on it. What's it look like? It's peace. Wisdom first from heaven is peaceful. So when you go through the process and you hear His voice will always be peaceful. You might hear an earthquake, but He didn't come in that sound. You might hear the wind raging, but it's not in that either. You might hear the fire and the blazes and the flames burning out of control, but He's not there. Where is He? In a still, small voice that's peaceful. And He begins to say, do this. Go there. Yeah. Talk to that person. Make that phone call. Yeah, it's time to close that account. It's time to send that card to that person. It's time to let that one go. You're carrying that too long. And when you begin to walk this thing out day by day, and you hear that, if it brings peace, keep walking. And finally, He gets pulled into the place where He's called you to be pulled. That's where this generation hears already. They already hear it. They hear it. They'll resist you putting your hands on their life because they don't even want to put their hands on their life. Would you stand with me, please? I'm telling you, God is raising up a people that hear His voice and know His ways. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? I just feel led to do this. There's no one looking around. If you're just lost and you feel empty and you're just feeling like, man, I got to get this thing right, and I'm not sure I'm enslaved and saved. I might even be back out into the world. I just know I'm empty and void. I just know it. I just feel it. I sense it. No one's looking around. I'm gonna count to three. If that's you and you're saying, "Hey, tonight, I just need to get it right. I need to yield this thing to Him and get this thing right now. I gotta settle the sin issue in my life. Get all my sins blotted out so I can start living into this future." And living where God's called me to live. No one's looking around. 1, 2, 3. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. Today I got to get saved. I got to get right. I see your hand. I see it. I'm not going to call you to come up front, but I am going to pray for you where you are, and I'm going to come to you after service. I want you to come find me. Nobody's looking around. I feel like I need to do this one more time. How many in here right now are, you know that you've got a desire in your heart, and you have not seen it come to pass in the way you think it should have? And it's been years, and it seems like you've had false start after false start and disappointment after disappointment. And there's times you've even thrown away and throw away the dream. You just want to throw it away and that desire and say, maybe that wasn't you, God. Maybe my time's passed. No one's looking around. Just raise your hand for me and say, that's me. Yeah, that's all over. Father, in Jesus' name, I say let the desires come alive. I seal those desires and those hopes and those dreams right now by the power of your Spirit, and I seal them in Jesus' name. I seal them in Jesus' name. And I say, Lord, they will not abort those desires. They will not abort those dreams. They will not abort those hopes. They will not. I say, God, those that have already buried them, resurrect them and let them live. And I say, Lord, raise up a mature people that know how to walk this thing out step for step. That know your voice and know how you want to live and how you want us to live and how you desire us. And Lord, your desires that you place inside of us, you want to see come to pass. And not only did you offer it, God, you're going to finish it. And I say, God, every person that's been in the way of stopping a desire and a dream, I say, God, move that person out of the way and allow a clear passageway for them to walk through. We're petitioning you, God, and we put this back on you. You gave us the desires. We didn't ask to be born in 2013 and 2014, living this life. You chose that. And God, if you chose it, you know how ignorant we can be. And you know how we get caught up in our own circumstances of life. And you know the personalities and the life experiences that we've had. You know all of that. And God, we come to you and we just lift it back up to you and say, Lord, if you know how bad the clay really is, and you're the potter, then we submit to you, potter. Do what only you can do. And let's see it come to pass. And let the masterpiece be fulfilled in our lives. We submit it up to you and say, Father, we have children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, Lord, that are living out there that are not fulfilling the desires of your heart. And I say, God, we lift them up to you as clay to the potter. And we say, Father, line out their steps and allow us to be mature enough to love them every step of the way. We'll see the end from the beginning because you're already there. And we will rejoice in the end, knowing that the end ends well in their lives. We bless you, Father, and we bless these people as they go. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday right here.